أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to have sessions where we discuss matters that are pertinent to us here in the U.S. from an Islamic perspective. And while we look at what happens globally, we are looking at it from the perspective of its relevance to us here in the U.S. And inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be benefiting from the guidance of our leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. May Allah protect him and bless us with his presence and his guidance until the coming of the Imam of our time. Today, earlier Iran's time, or in according to Iran time, this week we had a session that the leadership had a meeting with the people of Tabriz on the occasion of the 29th of Bahman in the Iranian calendar. This is the anniversary of the uprising of the people of Tabriz a year before the revolution succeeded. So approximately 1978, there was an uprising of the people of Tabriz 40 days after the uprising of the people of Qom and the martyrdom of many people. There were many people that were massacred on the 19th of Day in the Iranian calendar, which would be sometime in January, I believe. After that rise of the people of Qom and their massacre, the people of Tabriz had a procession, an uprising, on the 40th of the Shuhada of Qom. And that led to other cities learning from Tabriz and upholding the memory of the Shuhada of Tabriz 40 days after that. And those movements led to a nationwide uprising against the Shah, which led to eventually the downfall of the Shah about a year later in February of 1979. The leader has been meeting the people of Tabriz on that occasion and giving talks. This year, he mentioned a few points that I think are relevant. While I encourage everybody to go and listen to the talk, and those who don't know the Farsi language, they can go and find subtitles. I think they should be available. The leader said, in order for the people to be able to continue on the path, and inshallah we consider ourselves people that are trying to be on the path and stay on the path of the Imam of our time, they need to have a few qualities. I want to focus on three of them. He mentioned courage and not being afraid. He also mentioned not losing hope and not getting tired of the struggle and not reaching the goals in the near future. The problem still persisting. And lastly, the quality of istiqama, or having what is generally translated as perseverance, but what he mentioned of it was more of the more central point in the topic of perseverance. And that is, at least from an Islamic perspective, and that is to remain on the path, on the right path. These three are very important qualities that we are all in need of. In order to understand how relevant these are for us and how we need them, we need to understand our context. We live in the United States of America under the Pharaoh of the time. The United States government, or the power apparatus, the mala, as the Quran mentions it, consisting of various components that we'll touch on the ones that are more relevant to us. This is the Pharaoh of this time, and its reign, its power, its influence, its tyranny is not limited to one region or another. It's a global tyranny. If the Pharaoh at the time of Musa ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam was a regional power as he was in Egypt, the Pharaoh of today is a global power. And while others are feeling the consequences of such unjust and oppressive people being in charge in other parts of the world, we are living directly under this. And this is the epicenter of the tyranny. While many people think that this is the best place to live in, as a mu'min, we should realize that this is the belly of the beast. From an Islamic perspective, this is the worst place to be in. This doesn't mean for us to live, it means leave, rather. It means that we need to be more conscious of our surroundings and how this Pharaoh is taking down people, and that we don't get pulled down by them, and so on and so forth. So one thing to realize is that we are living here under the Pharaoh. The other thing we need to realize is, after looking at the Quran and the dua, which is a media, we have various media platforms. Islam, or religion in general, has the most effective media platform that transcends time. And that is a platform of Quran and dua. The Quran, which we are encouraged to read constantly and consistently on a regular basis, provides the teachings, a worldview, a way to understand our surroundings, a way to understand our path in every time, in every locality. Dua, also a different language from the A'immah, with other aspects and dimensions different than the Quran, but also in this respect, in terms of it being a platform that regularly provides guidance in regards to our goals, our direction, our methods, and bringing people to have a common understanding regarding those elements, which is one of the most, or some of the most important factors of people and their collective understanding of things and their collective direction in life, which part of the American apparatus, the media part of it, is trying to shape those opinions, those understandings regarding worldview, regarding our surroundings, regarding politics, regarding every aspect of life, and regarding our goals as human beings, and regarding our methods. All of those things are ones that the Pharaoni power apparatus tries to present and repeatedly mention to get the people in this part of the world to believe in those elements that will cause a people to move in a particular direction. Islam has its own media platform. That is the platform of the Quran and Dua. If we refer to them, and we should all do that, we will come up with certain goals in life as individuals, as human beings, collectively. And that goal is لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. We need to all rise in justice. And that means that if we're living under the Fir'aun, that our job, our responsibility today is to rise against the Fir'aun, because the Fir'aun is a source of injustice and tyranny on a global scale, and we are responsible to stand up against it and to change this tyranny to a just government under the Imam of our time. This is what the goals presented to us by the Quran, by the du'as that the Imam of our time has given to us, du'a nudbah particularly, du'a al-ahd. These are supplications that when we repeatedly mention them as supplications and we ask Allah to grant us what we ask in those du'as, part of it is telling us to ask Allah for things that are related to our objectives collectively, which are the objectives of the Imam of our time. So once we come to that and we realize what our role is here, then we realize that these three qualities that the leader mentioned in this session with the people of Tabriz are so relevant to any believer anywhere in the world, but particularly to us here in the U.S. He started with courage and bravery. Anyone who wants to stand against the Tawhut, wants to stand against the Fir'aun, has got to have the courage and the guts to do so. Anyone who doesn't have the courage, anyone who is afraid of being imprisoned, anyone who is afraid of losing their job, anyone who's afraid of losing their citizenship, their green card, their visa, their whatever, anyone who is afraid of any of that or anything else is not going to be able to be on the path of the Imam of our time working towards these objectives. It's just not possible. We are in need of that. If those are objective, are our objectives, which they are, then we've got to make sure that we develop this courage. That's number one. Secondly, he mentioned not losing hope and not getting tired. This battle against the Fir'aun of today is not one that's going to end anytime soon. We've got to play our role in bringing this Fir'aun to its knees. Is that going to happen before I die? I don't know. Is it going to happen in the next 10 years? I don't know. But it will happen, most definitely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran multiple occasions, including Surah Al-Fajr, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Various examples of tyrants, the last of which is the Pharaoh of the time of Musa. It says, look at what God did to all of these, and they caused corruption, and God used his whip and lashed them in this world with punishment. And then it says generally, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hiding, waiting for the moment to take down these tyrants. That's an expression telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring these down, and we have got our role, our responsibility to play that role, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring down the pharaohs through the act of the mu'mineen, as those examples happen in that way, with divine assistance, of course. But Ad came down when their prophet Hud came and guided them, and the people who joined him, those who fought against them, Allah saved them, the Prophet, and those who believed in him, and destroyed everyone else. Thamud, similarly, and the example of the Pharaoh, again, they fought against him, they presented all the truths, and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Banu Israel, and he drowned Fir'aun and his army in the sea. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do that, it's definite. But there are obstacles, there are shortcomings, there are difficulties, there are people committing treason, people not joining, people joining the other side, people saying wrong things. All of these things are going to happen. Seeing progress, it's very slow, but it's happening. Progress is happening. So we can't be like, oh, we decided that we need to rise and this is a tyranny and we need to bring it down and this, that, the other. And then after a few months, we lose that motivation. We give up. We go back to business as usual. Or after a year or two, after 10 years or 20 years, after 30, 40 years, no matter how long it takes, the Imam of our time has been leading the struggle against all tyranny for over 1,000 years. The Imam has not been sleeping and just praying and doing his tasbih. The Imam has been working. There's various ahadith and historic accounts that clearly suggest that. There's no doubt that the Imam has been active and he's been working hard on this for his goals and objectives that he has given us, the Quran has given us, he has given us through the dua that he's taught us. He's worked for over 1,000 years and still things are the way they are and they haven't reached that final point where all tyranny has been removed. It takes time. We can't give up. No matter what the obstacle is, no matter how difficult things are, don't give up. This is necessary. Lastly, istiqamah, to remain on the right path. There's another verse in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi twice. And then there's a third verse. In other words, there's two verses addressing the Prophet. There's another verse addressing Musa and Harun together. فَاسْتَقِيمَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعَانِ الَّذِينَ I forget the rest of the verse, but it starts in that way. فَاسْتَقِيمَ استقامة, the way the leader mentioned it, it's in this context, that remain on the path that God has given you. This requires a little bit extra explanation here. As we are living under a Fir'aun that is more clever, it seems, in getting people to choose the wrong path as opposed to forcing them through brutal force, through military, through police brutality. Police brutality today compared to the time of the Pharaoh is really not comparable in the country, in the United States. Outside of the country, it's worse. The numbers that have been killed by American military intervention throughout the globe are horrific figures and horrific ways of killing. But in the country, what we see compared to what we read of what the Pharaoh used to do, the numbers are not the same and it's a lot more lenient in ways, but that's because there's other methods. They have developed methods to get people, and although the Pharaoh at the time of Musa had these methods as well, these guys have developed them further, where they get people to choose the wrong path. Remaining on the right path requires a person to constantly and consistently check and make sure that they are on the right path. This requires a few practices. One, referring to the Islamic media that we have, the Quran and Dua, reading them consistently, continuously. Take our understanding of the world, of our goals, of our methods from the Quran. Not from people who explain it from the Quran, but from the Quran itself. It's fine, listen to this speaker, to that scholar, to whatever. The Quran is available to everyone. Translations, compare a few different translations if you don't know the Arabic language yourself. So you see where they differ and then think about why this, why that. And then there's dictionaries. You can check which of those translations is more accurate. You check a few different dictionaries and at times where those differences make a significant difference. You can check. The dictionaries are available. Various translations are available. You can cross-reference and try your best to figure out what's best. And anyone who does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he will guide. That's one thing that we need to do. Quran, dua, read the duas. That's another language, another way of explaining what God has given us in the Quran, the du'as from the Ahlul Bayt. Salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Constantly check, read them. And while we read them and we try to understand them, and we remind ourselves of that, we are able to pick out those deviations from this path. That's one thing we need to do. The second thing we need to do is to understand the power apparatus here. We need to know that this Fir'aun functions in a particular way. The most important tool at the disposal of this tyrant and part of the power apparatus, part of the power structure, as we said, the most important in many ways of this power structure is media, traditional and social media. These are all ways of this power structure forming public opinion and getting people to choose their ways of life based on what's presented to them. They have very effective ways. Now, to pull out every little lie here or there or the wrong in this statement or that statement, this cartoon or that movie or this series or whatever, this is, there's so much and so difficult. So I don't want to suggest that we don't watch anything. That's not what I want to suggest. What I do want to suggest is we've got to see it for what it is. If a person just opens up and turns on the television or rents movies or goes to the theater or watches documentaries or watches Netflix or taps into and watches these various news outlets or just goes on social media with a without any understanding of what this is, just going there, or this is where information can be found, not knowing that this is a platform that has been designed for a certain reason, for a certain objective, then when they go to it, confusion is the least that they'll come out with. Confusion is what will be the least outcome of going to this. If you're looking at what God says in the Quran, what the dua say, and you read that consistently, then you read all these other things, then the best result would be confusion. And you just don't know what's right and what's wrong. Confusion that a person is aware. Confusion is a state that you recognize. I'm confused. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. That's a good state compared to the next one that comes after. The best thing to have is clarity on what's right and what's wrong. That's the best state you want to be in. But confusion, where you know, I don't know what's right and what's wrong, that's better than coming to a point where we identify wrong as right and right as wrong. That is what can easily happen. The way to combat this is to constantly remind myself that this whole system, this network of various media platforms and outlets, social and otherwise, this whole thing is part of a system that is a Fir'auni system. The Quran tells us that Fir'aun ala fil ard, and then it says wa ja'ala ahlaha shi'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the way the Pharaoh governed is that he divided people up. There were those that were the privileged, and then there were the mustada'afin, based on, it seems at that time as well, based on racial lines, he divided people up. Okay. Well, how did he do that? Did he make an order? Did he give an order and then that's how it works? Or he used whatever media platforms were available at the time to encourage this. While there are tendencies for people to have racism in them, there are tendencies, all of us are vulnerable to have racist tendencies, God forbid. It's not natural for there to be a certain racism where a certain race is considered by all, including that race itself, to be lower than everybody else. That's not natural. It's natural for the Jews to be racist against non-racists at the time of Fir'aun. Today, it's obvious that Jews are very racist. Not Jews, but the Jewish race, okay? So Jews as a religion, as a people following a certain religion, is not intended here. As a race, very racist, Okay. Extremely racist. That's very visible today. The only apartheid state that remains is the Zionist, a state which is governed by the Jewish race. At the time of Musa, it would have been the case, naturally, that the Jews felt racist towards non-racists, not to the degree they do now, but the natural, you know, every race feels, you know, somewhat, just like anyone, wants to be better and feel better than others. They feel their race to be better than others as well. It happens. Everyone has some level of that. But for a society that consists of various ethnic backgrounds, to consider one to be superior, everyone, whether they're part of that or not, that's not natural. That comes from a system. Well, how does that system penetrate the minds of all these people? It's media outlets. The Fir'aun of the time did that. The Pharaoh of today is doing this. How are they doing it? Through these various media outlets. LGBTQ, and God knows whatever alphabet soup is after that, and coming about. This thing is something that's a clear example of this. Over the course of a couple or a few decades, the mindset of people in the West has changed. That's not a natural thing. That's the doing of these various media outlets all together, these platforms. It's cartoons, movies, news, television shows, articles in newspapers, magazines, that whole structure. And you can see that they're all working together. I mean, if it's not visible, that's one thing we're missing. So when we're referring to, and when we tap into these, and we, for entertainment purposes, watch cartoons or a movie or series, or we want to see, this is the other thing that people go for, they want to see what the system here, the news outlets are saying. They go and watch, they listen to NPR, watch PBS, look at CNN or see what Fox is saying and so on and so forth. If we think about this and constantly remind ourselves that this is what the Shaitan, the Fir'aun, is trying to present to us, first of all, we're not going to be opening our minds to whatever is given to us. That's one thing that's going to happen. Another thing that's going to happen is that we're going to be aware and conscious of the effects that this has on us. And as soon as we feel like I seem to be, while, because we said we're going to be reading the Quran and dua, I'm starting to feel that I have a different feeling towards the concepts presented in the Quran and in dua, my feelings towards dua and my feelings towards the Quran are changing. I don't like them as much. That means I'm being influenced. They're making me feel good about what they want me to feel good about and making me feel bad about what they want me to feel bad about. That's a signal telling me, okay, I need to cut down on this. I'm under too much influence from this media, and I need to cut down on that. These were some general understandings regarding the concept of istiqamah and remaining on the right path. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us be able to take the guidance coming from the leadership and learn its application here, and inshallah develop ourselves as soldiers for the 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen.